This is You Can If You Will with success coach, trainer, and speaker, Kip Kent. The show where everything we do is aimed at helping you become personally effective and professionally successful.
Hello and welcome to my show. I'm Kip Kent, and I have with me today all 7 feet, 4 inches of Mark Eaton, the former NBA All-Star and a successful business leader and entrepreneur. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kip. Great to be here.
So glad to have you on the show today. I've been excited for some time. Mark, lest our listeners think of you as a world-class athlete only, I'd just like you to share a little more about your life after basketball.
Well, I've been retired now about 17 years and been involved in a lot of different things since I retired. One of the big challenges of retiring as an athlete at age 38 is no one really knows what to do after that because you've been so focused on one thing for so long and now you're given a big menu and there are a lot of opportunities and things to consider and things to look at. And I got involved in the restaurant business early on with a couple of partners from San Francisco, and our business has been open for 17 years now, and we own 2 fine dining restaurants in the Salt Lake Valley. And I also ran programs for at-risk kids for a number of years, ran basketball camps and outdoor camps for kids in the Salt Lake Valley and Ogden area. Couldn't afford to go to a sports camp, and so we made that happen. And then I did some broadcasting for the Jazz for quite a while, and here the last 5 or 6 years have sort of changed courses again and kind of gone into the realm of being a motivational speaker, and started a business doing that about 6 years ago, and hired a coach, worked with her extensively to build my message and build my business, and now speaking about 80 times a year, and it's really going quite well. So that's what I've been up to.
Wow, fantastic. And, you know, I can appreciate your modesty, but I'm going to toot your horn just a little bit more for our listeners so they really get a sense of some of the accomplishments that you've had. After Mark's career with the Jazz from 1994 to 2005, Mark was, in fact, the chairman of the Mark Eaton Standing Tall for Youth organization, which provided sports and outdoor opportunities to more than 3,000 at-risk children. In 1997, Mark entered the entertainment arena, where for 8 seasons he hosted Jazz Tonight on KJazz TV and Mark Eaton Outdoors, as well as Sports Health Today, an internationally syndicated radio show. 1996, Mark initiated another successful venture, opening the award-winning restaurant Tuscany, and in 2005, Frunks. Currently, besides speaking and facilitating team building and leadership programs, Mark is writing a book about the 4 commitments of a winning team and is the subject of a soon-to-be-released feature film. So, Mark, it seems to me, and hopefully now to my listeners, that above and beyond being an NBA All-Star, you are an All-Star in business and in life, and I'm so appreciative to have you on the show.
Well, thanks, Kip. They all haven't been all-star moments, but I've had a few of them, yes.
Well, if they were all all-star moments, how would an all-star moment stand out, right?
Exactly.
Mark, in your message, you speak of getting rid of internal competition. You and I had a brief chat about this earlier, too. Tell our listeners a little more about this idea of internal competition, why it's detrimental, and how getting rid of it's going to help them.
Well, Kip, in my experience in business and being a basketball player, I've had the opportunity to play team at the highest levels. And teamwork is a term that's used frequently in business. We're a team, we're a team, we're a team. But yet, most businesses and business people I speak to really struggle with how to get everyone going in the right direction, all focused on the same goal. And this internal competition seems to permeate most organizations, where everyone's just kind of concerned about what's in it for me and how am I going to climb on top of you to get to the next rung on the ladder. And businesses suffer because of that. It doesn't matter if it's a large organization or a small startup. All of us face those challenges. And my presentation on teamwork is called The Four Commitments of a Winning Team. And it comes from this place of, in the NBA, you can't have internal competition. It simply doesn't work. You'll lose multiple games in a very short period of time and probably be looking for a job, or the coach will be fired, or large changes will be made quickly because there's just no tolerance for that in professional sports. So you have to get teamwork figured out, like, right now. So my presentation comes from that standpoint of what is it that gets things, that can turn things around, like, right now in this moment, that can really make a difference. And it all comes from getting rid of this internal competition, because just because you have a bunch of great players on a team doesn't necessarily mean you have teamwork.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned how you really can't have this internal competition on, say, an NBA team. But isn't it true that you can have it, you just can't have it and win? Because don't we see that on some teams? Without naming names, some teams that are a bunch of these sort of competing stars, if you will, but just don't seem to reach their potential as a team because of this internal competition.
Right, and they suffer personally as well. Even if they're gifted players and they might get traded to another team and, you know, still keep their scoring average intact, if they're not labeled part of a winning team, then they'll always be sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, a loser. And what I've found is that people value winning over statistics all day long. And so you have a guy that's scoring a lot of points on a losing team, nobody really cares. And if you can find players from a winning team, even administrative assistants become valuable if they were part of a winning division or they've learned how to get past that ego and understand how to help the people around them, and that if the team wins, they win. That's kind of a rare concept that most people seem to have a difficult time grasping at first.
I totally appreciate what you're saying there. In the NBA, when the final score goes up, there's a winner, and technically speaking, there's a loser. But often we talk about the importance of win-win in business. How does setting aside this internal competition contribute to a win-win, in your opinion?
Well, as soon as someone gets into a place where they're in this internal competition, so in other words, they're become defensive for some reason or another about their teammates or about the goals of the company, now teamwork has already been lost right at that moment. As soon as you start positioning yourself, you've lost that sense of team. What happens on the contrary side of that, when you are embracing the winning side of team, is that as the team improves, you improve. Your value increases as the team wins. Everyone feels better about themselves, better about each other. And that's where real strides are made in the business world, in your personal life as well, I believe, that the more focused I can be on improving the people around me, the better I'm going to look, and the more our company is going to win. And if the company wins, everybody wins. And that's the bottom line. So it's really taking a step back and saying, how can I get out of these conversations that aren't working and look for the things that are the win-win opportunities, because that's the only place where growth is going to occur.
So, Mark, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying it starts with an attitude and a mindset before you even get to a winning behavior and interaction. Is that right?
It does. You know, one of the first things I talked about in my presentation is the understanding of your role, how important that is. That a lot of people in business don't know what their job is. And you say, well, how can that be? But it's true. They get hired to do something. They start doing it. They get very little coaching from their bosses or their peers. They just kind of, you know, doing their thing, not really knowing if they're making headway or not. And a lot of people get lost in that place where they're not real clear about what's the specific thing is they're supposed to be doing, coupled with a lot of times as employers, we don't position them to win by putting them in a place that is commensurate with their strengths. For instance, when I was a young man, Wilt Chamberlain pulled me aside and told me some very important things about my job, about what my job was, to stand under the basket and block shots and prevent other players from getting to the basket. And in doing so, he helped me define what my role was on the team. once I understood that, everything became much clearer, and I could see how I could thrive in that position, because now I just wasn't running around all over the court trying to do everything. I was focused on the one thing that I could really be great at. Something as simple as helping people understand their job is, I think, paramount in business today, and you have to go back over it again and again and again. You've got to revisit it and check in and see how people are doing. And, you know, in the restaurant business, I won't let our managers fire anybody until I'm clear that they have spent enough time coaching them that that person really understood what their job was. Now, if they can't do it and you need to move on, then, hey, you need to move on. But I want to make sure that everyone's been trained properly, they're clear about their expectations, they're clear about the results we're looking for, and that they have all the tools they need to do their job.
Wow. And I'm still trying to process, you know, how many people get to, you know, begin a life learning experience by saying, yeah, when I was getting personal advice from Wilt Chamberlain. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, all of us can look back in our lives and see mentors or teachers or a parent or someone who came along at the right moment and said just the right thing that caused you to step back for a second and reassess and maybe crystallize the direction going forward. And if you haven't had somebody in that in your life, I think, you know, start paying attention because they are around you.
And clearly it's stuck with you and it's impacted you and the way you've gone on to succeed in your life. So that's another great point for all my listeners. Seek out mentors in your life, people that help you want to be better and can give you good advice along the way. So we've been talking a little bit about these four commitments of a winning team. I'm dying here. What are the four commitments of a winning team?
Well, the four commitments of a winning team are, number one, knowing your job, which I just spoke about. Number two, doing what you've been asked to do. In business today, very few people really execute. And that's what we call it in basketball, executing the play. And so it's not about doing your best or giving your best effort. It's really about understanding what it takes to execute the play and execute the game plan. That's what's going to lead you to success. So it may be difficult at times, it may be hard at times, it may be doing things you don't necessarily want to do, but in order for the play to succeed, the execution has to happen. So doing what you've been asked to do is number two. Number three is making people look good. So the better you make the people around you look, the better you look to them. This is a core component of teamwork, is making the people around you better. And so I ask people in my seminars all the time, how focused are you on making the people around you look good? You know, are you a 1 out of a scale of 10, 1 to 10, or are you a 10? And where would you rate yourself on that scale? And how could you improve that score? And how would a higher score impact your business and your life if you spent more time making the people around you look good? And then the fourth point is really about protecting each other. That, and this goes back to countering this internal competition notion that very few people will walk around an office and say, hey, buddy, I got your back. You know, I'm here for you. What do you need? And I've challenged business leaders on this at times that they say, well, if, you know, if my employees execute and they, you know, they do the things they're supposed to do, then I support them. And I challenge them by saying, look, I could fire somebody and still care about them as a human being. That's the kind of commitment I'm talking about in terms of letting them know you have their back. Doesn't mean you have to go to dinner with them all the time or anything like that, but just to let them know that they have your support. It's huge in business. And, you know, we've all seen those statistics where job satisfaction is not about how much money you make. It's really about feeling like you're a part of the team and that you're making a contribution. So letting people know that you have their back can really help galvanize that for them, where they really feel like, well, I am valued here. Someone does care about the work that I do. And I know that if I've got an issue, I can go in and talk to them about it. And that's all it is. And yet again, in my experience in the businesses I speak to, it's hard to find that kind of feeling in the office.
You know, I love everything that you're saying there, and I'd like to dive in deeper on each one of these, and we will in just a moment. I'm really drawn to the title, Four Commitments of a Winning Team, and I'd love to hear you elaborate just a little bit on what commitment even means to you and in this concept. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Commitment to me is doing what's necessary to win. Not for a place from a have to, but because that's really what you believe is going to make the difference. And on a basketball team, you can't have guys who just say, well, I'm only going to play half the game or three quarters of the game, and then I'm going to put it on cruise control for the last quarter. You have to have that total commitment for the entire 48 minutes of the contest, as well as have that commitment when you're at practice again the next day. And to me, commitment is about playing it through. So when I was a young man, you know, I wasn't really a great basketball player. In fact, I worked as an auto mechanic for a period of time between high school and college. And as I got back into basketball with the help of a great coach, there were times I was frustrated. I wasn't playing well. I wasn't getting enough playing time. I didn't feel like the coach of the team really liked me, especially when I was in college at UCLA. And my coach, Tom, from my junior college, kept giving me advice about continuing to work hard and continuing to see it through. And even within myself, there was like something that said, you know, I've got to play this out. I've got to see where it goes. If the door shuts at the end of my college career and I don't make it as a pro player, at least I'll be able to say, you know, yes, I played basketball and I gave that everything I had and I saw it through to the end. And I think that's what commitment is about to me. It's like seeing it through to the end. You've got an opportunity to do something. You see an opening. You see a place where a niche or something like that. Play it out. See where it goes, because a lot of times you're going to stumble the first, second, third, fourth time you come out, or your first product, or your second product, or your service, whatever it is. But as you stumble, you learn. It's like, okay, well, I know that didn't work, and I know this didn't work, and so I'm going to play this out until it's clear to me this is a completely closed door, and I need to, you know, make a left or a right turn and do something different. But don't stop midway. Commitment is about playing it out and seeing it through to the end.
Awesome. Now that really resonates with me. You know, I've often said to my clients, anybody can start something, but commitment is about finishing. And your comments related to seeing it through to the end, whatever that end may be, not every single thing that we touch is going to turn to gold, but did we see it through to the end to really know? Did we give it our full effort and follow through? All of that resonates with me and hopefully is resonating with our listeners as well.
Yeah, and the things that don't work out, you probably learn more from than the things that do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's come back to these four commitments now. The first one you mentioned was knowing your job. And you've had several jobs, including being an all-star center in the NBA. Elaborate just a little more here about the importance of knowing your job. And bear in mind that we've got these listeners out there. They're starting businesses. They're running businesses. They want to be better at their jobs, too. They don't always have somebody telling them what their job is.
It goes back to what are your core competencies? What are the things that you really do well? So when I do my presentation, I actually put up a list of character traits and skills and ask people, you know, of these things, whether it's loyalty, integrity, honesty, fairness, kindness, whatever it might be, what do you think your number one character trait is? And what do you think your number one skill is, the thing that you do, whether it's analyzing or coaching or motivating or leading, whatever it might be? And to start thinking about playing to your strengths, and I know, you know, that's kind of an overused term sometimes, but that's really what it's about. A lot of times we spend time on our weaknesses, and that's admirable. It's not really necessarily going to get you anywhere. What you really want to do is hone in on your strengths. What are you really great at? What got you in this business in the first place? Are you a great salesperson? You know, then you need to be out doing more of that and less time in the office. Figure out another way to manage the other aspects of your business so that you can get out and do more of what you're great at. And it's learning to honor your role on the team is what it's really all about. Because as you learn to do that, your team can grow because you allow them to shine. So if you're an entrepreneur and you're running around trying to do all the jobs because you think you can't afford somebody else, or you know that they are not going to do it as well as you because it's your idea and your finances, et cetera, you're just going to stay stuck, because one man can't be an entire basketball team. It just doesn't work. And one man cannot be an entire business. You've got to have help, and there are ways to find people that can help you, that's affordable, that are really going to take a lot of the load off of you so that you can get out there and focus on your strengths. So that's what knowing your job is about.
Okay. So if, for example, pulling up for three-pointers on the fast break is a weakness for you, you're not necessarily going to spend a ton of time to try and overcome that. Your strengths may be you know, having people's back in the paint and moving over to help out on a double team, or just, you know, swatting people's shots away or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's again, it's going back to really taking a self-inventory and even asking. I tell people they should just ask three people, what is my greatest strength? You'll find some amazing answers, and it might not be something that you necessarily thought of. And once you learn that, then go back and say, all right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well am I currently leveraging that in my business or my position with my company? How could I leverage it more? And taking the time to really sit down and do that and reassess yourself from time to time. I continue to do it in my business. It's like, all right, you know, in the restaurant business, for instance, I have a partner who's great at number crunching, and he's pretty good at ideas and things like that. And I'd get frustrated in the meetings because we weren't spending enough time talking about marketing and about food and about service, which are really my forte items, the things that I really enjoy and are good at. And so I had a meeting with him one day. He said, well, why don't you have your own meeting before my meeting? And you guys can talk about food and service and, you know, whatever you're doing marketing-wise and social media, and then we'll have our other meeting. I thought, wow, that's a great idea, and I felt so empowered. And now I have this separate meeting with our staff, and we just go over the things that I want to talk about, which is great, and it's made a difference. Little things like that, I think, are important. And, again, focusing back in on the things that you do well allows everyone else around you to shine as well. Because I'm not in this meeting anymore frustrated with my partner who's spending too much time crunching numbers. Now, crunching numbers is important. It's an important part of business. It's just not what I do well. And so we were able to come up with
so play to your strength.
Works. No, it's not my strength.
Awesome. So you will play to your strengths instead. That's the message.
Right.
Now, let's look at this second commitment, doing what you've been asked to do, the commitment of execution. Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of execution in doing what you've been asked to do?
Most businesses take 3 to 5 years to really get up and running. And when you're going through that process, it's difficult because there's so many things to think about, so many decisions to make, so many different directions you can go, and that going back to your core competency is where you need to focus more time. You need to learn how to do your job well. And the only way you learn how to do your job well is by practicing and by getting out there and doing it and falling on your face a few times. When I first started speaking, I had this speech I spent probably 2 years writing with this coach I worked on. It was so frustrating because we went over it and over it and over it, but she was committed to making it a wow, that it wasn't going to be just another speech. It was going to be a wow, which meant that every line needed to be a wow, which meant we needed to spend hours and hours going through it and retelling stories and relooking at the points and going deeper. And at any point in time through that process, I was frustrated many times. I said, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. But in order to be a champion, you've got to be able to execute the play. So I had to commit myself over and over and over again, just like when I was a basketball player. If you're going to learn how to shoot free throws, you've got to practice over and over and over again. And for a while, you're not going to be very good at it because it takes that, you know, like that, what's that book, The Outliers, where it's, you know, 10,000 hours to create mastery in something. It's going to take time to really get to that point where you feel like you have competence, and with the competence is going to come confidence and better self-esteem. And, you know, then all of a sudden you start charging more for your product or your service because now you can really see the difference that it's going to make, and emotionally you can feel the difference that it's going to make, which, you know, you walk into someone's office and say, you know, you've got to have this product. This is what can do for you. This is how it can help you. So that's executing the play. It's going through that painful process of practice and executing over and over and over again until you figure out what the sweet spot is.
And I love what you said about how with competence comes confidence to be able to execute. You have to put in the time. You have to do what you've been asked to do and to do it over and over again to get the competence that leads to the confidence. What a great message for our listeners here.
The third commitment is making people look good, and that, again, is focused on helping the people around you. So you know, your ability to help others is going to reflect directly on your career and also directly affect your business. So if you're out selling a product or service and you are there to completely serve your customer and help them improve their business, and you're committed emotionally to that, your business will succeed. If you're out there just selling things because you need to make money and you need to have the numbers be a certain place, you're going to find it's much more difficult to engage with people. People want to do business with people who they like, who make them look good to their bosses, make them look good to their spouses, whatever it is. And those are the people you go back to time and time again. And if you'll spend the time building those relationships and making your customers and the people around you and the people you work with look good, you'll find that your trust increases, loyalty increases, and return repeat business increases, because I will always go to someone that I feel I'm connected to versus someone that just has the best price, you know, for most things, especially for things that I'm buying repetitively. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, on a basketball team, it was the same thing. Our job was to make each other look good out on the floor, because once we started doing that, we started coming together as a team. And as we started coming together as a team and started winning, then the individual accolades started showing up. And our coach had told us that, you know, if you guys will stop competing with each other and start cooperating with each other, the individual honors will come in. And he was right. Once we got out of our own way, we'll stop worrying about how many minutes this guy was playing or how many shots that guy got, and started saying, geez, how can I help my teammates? All of a sudden, we went from a losing team to a winning team.
Wow. Fantastic message. It reminds me of something I heard Zig Ziglar say once. Well, I think he said it many times. If you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. Just focus on helping others. And that seems to be the spirit of this commitment, committing to making other people look good, helping them to be better, and it helps you in the long run.
Well, it does, and you know, you bring up Zig Ziglar, who just recently passed, and
yes,
I can't tell you. I mean, this guy was a world class all star speaker. It didn't get much better than Zig Ziglar, and I can't tell you how many speakers I have met that he mentored. I mean, guys that I just run into, and we start chatting. I'm like, well, how did you get started in the speaking business? Oh, I went to a Zig Ziglar event. I called him on the phone. He called me back. I went over to his house. He showed me all the things I needed to do to become a speaker. I mean, that's what it's about.
You know, and it's really interesting because he lived a life of making other people look good, of making other people better. And what a successful man. What a wonderful life he led. And his legacy will live on and on. I could go on and on about Zig myself. Just an amazing man. And I've had the privilege of working closely with him and his organization early in my career as a business and success coach, and he's had a lasting impact on me as well. Thank you, Zig. Appreciate you. Let's talk about this final commitment here, protecting each other. This, and as they say in today's vernacular, having their back. Talk a little bit about this commitment for me.
So where this comes from is that the essence of what I did on the basketball court was I protected my teammates. I stood under the basket, and I protected the basket, and I gave my teammates the ability to go out and try and steal the basketball from the opponent. And if they missed or failed to do so, and their man got loose and started heading towards the rim, they knew that I would get over there in his way and deter that. And so it gave them the confidence to go out and take some risks because they knew I had their back. That's what the message is about. And in the business sense, it's about people really understanding that you're there for them, that you're, you know, that at work you're just not sitting there concerned about your own position and your own cubicle and your own job, but that you're there to really help the business succeed and, more importantly, help the people in the business succeed. So it's beginning to understand, what are the objectives of the people that you work with, the people that you hire? What do they want for their careers? Where are they trying to go? How can you help them get there through the process of improving your own business? And if you want to build trust, you want to build loyalty in your organization, this is a core component of really getting to know people. And again, like I said, you don't have to get personally involved with them, but you do need to understand what their motivation is, what their strengths are, and how to best leverage them, and more importantly, how to help them understand that we're all in this together. If we win as a team, you're going to win individually, because we sell more things or provide better service, everyone's going to make more money, and job satisfaction is going to go up. There'll be a chance for advancement or to open a second location or whatever it might be. And it simply comes from the understanding that you have between you and that other person, that they know that they can really count on you and that you're there for them. And that's a thing I don't see very often in business, where people are really willing to make that commitment to another employee or a coworker or even a family member from that standpoint.
Loyalty is not old-fashioned. It's not just a nostalgic idea. It's as critical as ever. But I think I'm hearing you say that it's becoming a little less prominent. It's not found as often as it used to be, but it's a critical commitment.
It's a critical commitment, and it's not found because for some reason, which you have to ascertain, the people are not emotionally bought in, have not emotionally bought into whatever you're doing. So now you've just got somebody who's performing a role, performing a job, without that real deeper connection and commitment to making your business work. And while certainly we all need people to do certain tasks, the more buy-in you can have, the better your company is going to be. And I love seeing companies of 10 or 15 people where everyone's engaged in what's happening with the business and it's growing, and the boss is someone who's helps keep everyone in the loop of information of what's going on, what's changing with the business, where are we growing, what are the opportunities, versus someone who's more of the dictatorial type that's just telling everybody, well, that's your job, just go do it, and don't, I don't want to hear any questions. This is how we're going to do things. That model doesn't seem to work anymore. If you're trying to figure out why your employees are not engaged for some reason or another, it's simply because the emotional buy-in isn't there. And it can be kind of a tricky thing to get them there, but if they've bought into the mission and they're inspired by what you're doing as a business or service, then your chances for success are going to soar.
So one last thought on this one. I believe I'm hearing you say, take the time and make the effort to invest in these relationships to make sure that you are demonstrating the loyalty, that you have their back, and that will have its own reward.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to let them know. When you say invest, I don't mean you need to put everybody in, long-term contracts, because businesses need to be flexible and be able to move. But while they're there, while you have them, you want to make sure that they understand that you're there for them and you're there to help them. And if the team wins, they're going to win. So, yes, taking the time to do that, getting out of your chair and spending some time sitting in their office or taking them to lunch or whatever it might be, and just getting to know them a little bit better so that you understand how they think, will really give you some key clues to what you need to do moving forward with your business.
Terrific. Mark, can you please tell me, what does it really mean to be a championship team? You've been a part of amazingly successful teams and championship teams in business and in other areas of your life. What does it mean to be a championship team in the workplace?
A championship team in the workplace is one where everyone understands their importance to the overall success of the team. They've quote-unquote bought in emotionally and are willing to do whatever it takes to make the team succeed. It means I need to score 30 points this night, great. If it means I need to score 4 points today and give the ball to someone else and let them score, great. But the commitment to winning supersedes everything else. It takes time to cultivate that. It takes time to gain that ownership, and that's where a great coach or a great leader can do some amazing things, as we've seen in professional sports and in business also. But those are what the core components of a championship team are, that complete buy-in where everyone is on the same page and the leader is able to manage the strengths of the individual players to leverage them so that the team is firing on all cylinders.
Fantastic. Mark, when can we expect this book, Four Commitments of a Winning Team? When's that going to hit our shelves?
Well, it's in the process right now. I'm not sure. It may still be a few months away. I'm trying to find someone to to help me a little bit more with that in terms of a co-writer, and my speaking schedule has been pretty busy, so I haven't had time to really sit down and refocus on it. But I know where it needs to go, and I'm going to execute it here shortly.
Well, I'm excited and definitely looking forward to it. Now, listeners, as you know, as a coach, I can't let the opportunity go by to have you commit for what you're going to do to take something from this show today. My homework for you is to visit 7foot4.com. That's 7FT4.com and read two of Mark's articles. The ones I recommend are Play to Your Strengths and End the Internal Competition. Mark, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. I look forward to reading your book. And to my listeners, always remember, you can if you will.
For more information, visit KipKent.com. And remember, you can if you will.